Adversity, bring it. The struggle, I welcome it. Snooze on life, never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on. Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 170. We're looking a little different today, but as always, I'm in the booth with my OG, Claudio the Voice Valenzuela, and I am Dave the Body Regina. Happy New Year to everybody, 2024. We recorded a couple episodes into December. We wanted to get this one out to you guys. But first and foremost, we really, truly need to say thank you. Thank you for the continued support. Thank you for sharing this show, because this is not at all really why we do this. But the past few months, for whatever reason, we have gained a lot of traction, a lot of great publicity, a lot of great media attention, and it's really because of you guys, and I don't want that to get missed. But don't forget that the first 4 years, and I know CV can attest to this, there was really none of that. So if you believe in something, go for it. Go at your pace, and just don't stop, because I do believe that No Snooze is kind of proof in the pudding. There's one ask in 2024. The simplicity here is key. I know we tell you like, subscribe, shop, all that stuff is great. But the one thing that has really taken this to the next level is just share the show. If you find enjoyment, if you find value in what we do, if it makes you laugh, if it makes you cry, at any point, it's so important to us that, you're receiving what it is that we're giving you guys. So whether it's a text message to a friend, whether it's a share on Instagram, that's really all we ask. So today is a solo episode. I apologize if it's a little awkward, because it's just me and you. And if you're on YouTube, I'm looking right at you into the camera. CV always has me on the spot here, making sure that I look into the camera. So I'm going to try to do my best. But we have a couple housekeeping things. We're going to talk on something that's pretty important to me, which is the word for 2024 every year. You know, I choose a word. And for the past couple of years, we've been doing it publicly. So we definitely want to touch on that. But we also have a ACE summit coming up. Action Cultivates Excellence. And what this is a high performance men's retreat. It's a transformative experience designed for men seeking personal and professional excellence. It's in New Paltz, New York, and it's taking place President's Day weekend, February 16th to the 18th. Three-day experience. Some of the things that will be going on will be guided cold plunges, some leadership training, group workouts, outdoor hikes, expert-led workshops. We're going to have live podcasts and access to exclusive keynote speakers. All your meals will be included. And then there's four levels of tickets. So if you're looking to do a day pass for the 3 days, you can do that. And we have multiple levels just to meet everybody's needs. But there's something to be said about surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals. It's an investment in you, and there's no better way to start the year off. You know, surrounding yourself with 25 like-minded men, I believe, whether it's business you're looking to grow in, whether it's your relationships, whether it's to focus more on your fitness, learn how to be a little bit more vulnerable, that's a huge thing that we're going to be discussing, right? This is not a rah-rah shishkumba weekend by any means, but you have an idea of what being a man is in your head. And for the women listening too, you know, whether you have a spouse or a boyfriend or brother, share this message with them too. We all have a concept and an idea of what being a man is. And being a man is a strong provider, somebody who's a protector, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. So we're seeking to bridge the gap between masculinity and vulnerability. And that's one of our taglines that we're standing true on. So it's led by myself and Sean Degnan, who I'm sure you guys are very familiar with in the No Snooze community. You can get tickets at acesanctuary.com. acesanctuary.com. Only 25 tickets available. We'll see you there. All right. CV, my fun part here. And I should have told you to choose a word too, but I know you... I know you probably have 15 words that you want to choose today. So why do we really choose a word? And I think for me, you know, I like to break things down so I can really understand why it is that I'm doing this. But it's really to bring clarity and focus to who I want to become as a man and really what I want to accomplish in specifically 2024. I do this to set intention. And I think that it helps me personally with setting goals and then prioritizing things. Finally, I do believe that the word simplicity is key here, because so many times I think we overthink. And when you have one word that you want to stick to in a year, you become mindful of that word. And I think it brings, like, I don't know, it's a sense of simplifying your life, not to overthink things. When you want to do something good, you can circle back to this one word for the year. I'm going to be very honest with you guys. Last year, my word was nourish. To nourish my relationships, really to feed everything in my life. Me as a father, me as a business professional, me as a podcaster, me as a friend, and anything in between. I actually ranked my score for last year. And I really wasn't happy with it. I gave myself a 7.4 out of 10, which would be a 74% CV, the big mathematician.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How did you come up with the scoring system?
So honestly, I did it in like four main categories. I had my fitness, which I was like a 9.5 out of 10. So I was high there. Me as a father, which I was like a 9.2. I was pretty high there. Me in business, I was like an 8 there. And then in my relationships as a whole, I was actually lower than I wanted to be. And that's all my relationships. You know, that's personal and professional. I think there were things that I did not do great in 2024. I think on a personal level, even the, like I remember on an episode talking about like reaching out to family members more, you know, or like being there a little bit more for my mom. And when I was there, I was there. But I didn't go out of my way to truly nourish those relationships in my life. And I think that was really a 5 out of 10.
So basically, I'm not the big math, but we'll try a little bit of math here, a little math.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, each section is about 25% of the,
yeah,
of the total
for me.
Score.
I mean, that's kind of, that was
no,
the gist of
yeah,
what
yeah,
I
no,
was
I got
doing,
it. This is good. This is good stuff because it does help, I think, people to conceptualize what you're talking about.
Yep.
And if you're a numbers person, you're going to easily find the breakdown. And mm-hmm. if you're not, it allows you to kind of see the method, right?
Yep.
So 25% each section. Mm-hmm. And then in each section, how does the criteria work? Because let's say, what was your highest section?
Well,
said?
So it was fitness.
Was 9.5, you
fitness
said?
Was like 9.5, yeah. Because okay, so I didn't miss, you know, too many days in the gym. Right. But in fitness for me is also like diet goes there, the intensity to my fitness. So you can categorize it however you want. You can maybe make it wellness if you wanted to.
I don't know what it is about this conversation that's really intriguing me, the how you got to the math.
The 7.4.
Yeah, no, because I think it's good. And, and I guess in my head, maybe this will relate to other listeners, but in my head, I'm trying to understand how you broke down each section specifically, because then that would help me. All right, maybe I'm going to try and do the same for whatever, right?
So I think to answer your question, it's more of like, what are the four main components of my life? Right. And for me, that's fitness.
Right.
Me as a father, me in business.
Yes.
And then my relationships.
That's great. So let's stick on one. Fitness.
Mm-hmm. Fitness. Yep.
How many components in fitness? You said diet.
Yeah. So for me, the main ones, and also, again, so I wrote this down.
Yeah.
I should have brought the.
Yeah. No,
know,
this is good.
The spreadsheet.
I don't know why I'm so intrigued.
But it's probably better to just be off the top of my head anyway, just so I remember it. But so for me, it's diet.
Yep.
Right. Like what I consume. And then the intensity of my workouts is big for me. Like
okay.
I have a problem with individuals who just go to the gym and don't really get after it.
Walk at 2.0.
And the I guess the consistency of that throughout the year. So that's the main thing is like, you know, the actual physical piece and then what I'm consuming within my diet.
So it's three or four subsections in each of those. Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I like this.
Me as a father, I think I did a good job. You know, like some people, not everybody knows my situation personally, not going to really get into that. Mm-hmm. But for those who really know me on a personal level, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a single dad by any means. And I think we loosely use that term, but I'm in a co-parenting situation, you know? So that dynamic there, really, you have two decisions, right? You can optimize the opportunity that you spend with your child or children. Or you can kind of do the opposite. And I chose to really try to lock in. There were moments for sure that Callie, I've shared here, you know, she's like, put your phone down, you know, but I really tried to like do activities with her. I do things, you know, I do arts and crafts and you know me, I'm not the big creative by any means, but it's something she really loves to do. She gets a lot of enjoyment out of it. So I was intentional about those things as a dad. Also for me in fatherhood, affirmations are huge. You know, I have conversations with Callie every single day and I tell her what it is that I love about her. And then I make her tell me what she loves about herself. Her list happens to be getting longer and longer, which is a good thing, I guess, for her confidence. But I've seen the growth in her mental. And I didn't want a situation with the situation that's going on with her family dynamic, having two households. I didn't want that to affect her in any way. So me and her mom have been trying to do the healthiest thing possible to try to sustain that. And then also like being intentional about bringing her around people who love her, right? Like I made an effort to make sure my mom, brother, sister, father were around her a lot. Was intentional about like being outside with her, all that stuff. Go ahead.
Do you self-grade or do you seek, I mean, I'm sure the majority of it is self-graded, but do you seek some grading from others within your conversations with your family, your loved ones, the people that you trust in your circles, or is it all just you self grading yourself?
I think people, so to answer your question, I do the self critique. Okay.
I'm thinking that you have to have such a, you know, and this is kudos to you, you have to have such a great level. I'm gonna put my camera on me for a little bit.
Hey, there you go. Hey,
such a great level of accountability over what you're. Over what you're grading, because it's so easy to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to round it up to like, you know, a 90, 95 because I was there every day. And, you know, so many ways that you can cheat it because you're doing, I mean, and granted, I know you and I know you're probably not cutting any, not one single corner. So I can understand how you're getting to that score in a very accurate manner.
Which is a low score for the year, bro. Right. So think about it. 74%.
Yeah.
Like if I got that on a test, depends on what grade. I might be ecstatic. But, you know, as I grew, like in college, you know, anything under a B plus was unacceptable.
How are you able to be honest with the grade that you're giving yourself in that moment?
Yeah. And this is kind of hard. That I'm sharing this actually.
Yeah.
You know,
because
to give myself a 74% is not the best.
And the thing is, I'll be honest, like I listened to your scores and I think that you're definitely tough on yourself on probably your lower score.
Which was the relationships.
Right. And I mean, it takes a lot. I think you almost do that a little bit on purpose to kind of make sure you fuel a little bit for the next round.
Yeah.
You know? But then I see the high score and not to take away what you do, because I'm, you know, you are the big robot, so I know that you're extremely consistent with your fitness and with everything. But it's such a wild dynamic to understand. And for anyone that's listening, to be able to do that, you have to have a crazy sense of accountability, but also like honest. You have to be very honest with yourself, which a lot of people, you know, we can be honest, but when it comes to like our personal stuff, you know, we'll kind of slide on the side or forget or
And then to go back to your question about like the critique. I struggle with society today because getting critique from other people really doesn't exist that much. Like, think about the people in your life who are really, and this is not only to CV, but anyone who's obviously tuned in right now, how many friends and family members you truly have that are comfortable enough to be honest with you and tell you when you're not doing something up to par. Or maybe something you can improve on. Because I know for me, I have a couple of my best friends, you know, a few coworkers, but that circle, couple family members, But on the grand scheme of thing, you're shaking, grand scheme of things, you're shaking thousands of hands every year. So that number to really get critique from other people is minimal. So if you don't have the ability to grade yourself and to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I did have a 7.4 out of 10 last year. I'm not happy with that. But also there were three out of the four components, which were major components of my life, that, you know, I was successful in when it comes to the scoring system. But I got to be better, you know, and I think everybody, you should seek out people in your life that can be honest with you, but it's hard to do. And then also people could tell me anything they want, but now it's also on me. Does that voice really matter? You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah. Like, cause
people, and that is actually leading to my next question.
Yeah.
I'm all these questions are popping up.
Yeah,
so hopefully you're appreciative of
this. No, I am, because I was very transparent with CV. I said, CV, I am doing a solo episode today. We'll see how this works out. But if you have any questions, my brother, please chime in. So I'm happy about this.
Do you, when you're thinking about the grading system, right? Because obviously when you do math, for instance, it's black or white. Mm-hmm. You either got 2 times 2 is 4 correctly, mm-hmm. or you got that incorrectly. When it comes to something like this, there's a lot of subjectivity that goes within the thing. Can there be like a scoring method? I'm sure there can be, but that's not out there. So do you put a goal figure or a person whom you look up to in that specific category as kind of like your guide to what the 100% is? And so that way you can kind of grade based on that, or how does that work?
So the fitness thing again was it, that part was easy for me, you know, like you have a lot of these components of my, of your life. For me, it's those top four, but somebody else instead of business might put finances, right? So like you have real life feedback there. So the three that I scored really good on, like, are almost, and I don't want to use the word because it'll be my word for 2024. So I'm trying to come up with a different word. But it's kind of concrete evidence, you know, that like I'm able to walk away with. Like my finances were better than last year. So that's like factual. And it's not like I made a significant amount more money than last year because of my line of work, but also the investments that I made, the relationships in my business world were kind of excelling throughout the year. So I have that to lean on. When it came to the relationships piece, I actually jotted down, I don't know, maybe the top 10 or top 12 people in my life, who's, you know, predominantly family, where I really wanted to kind of be a little bit better. And I feel like I also got that feedback as well, because if you can write down, you know, say your mom's name on a piece of paper, you know, automatically, like, rate yourself out of 10. You know, did you provide your mom with a level to you that's sufficient if that's one of your focuses for the year? For me, I can tell you right off the bat, no, I wish I took my mom out to lunch a little bit more. I wish I called her a little more. I wish I checked on her a little more. I wish I told her that I was proud of her a little more. I did those things, but I did it to a mediocre level of 74%. You know, so I feel like there's evidence there. And the more specific, I guess, the grading system, the more specific you can be with each component of your life, I think you can come up with your own grading system.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm liking it. I'm trying to not interrupt you so hard, because this is
you like this one, huh?
I do. This is because I think the real value here, for me at least, and I'm hoping that others can see it this way, is I like it. It makes a lot of sense to me, and because it makes a lot of sense to me, mm-hmm. it's something that I would like to maybe dive into a little bit deeper. And so I'm jotting questions. So as you're talking, I'm trying to write questions so I don't interrupt
that's
you.
That's fine.
And I have two questions that I kind of, mm-hmm. I want to put out there for you really quick.
Yep.
Well, and this is a quick one, right? So yeah, the first one is, when did you do this? Like the actual scoring, figuring this all out, and when did you conclude with an answer?
Mm-hmm. So I had two, I was lucky enough to where I took 2 weeks off, you know, of work. And there was one day that I was actually feeling a little lonely, to be honest. You know, right now, again, I live in a home. At nights, I'm completely alone by myself. And that's not the best feeling for me. My dog died this year, as you know. Again, like I said, on a personal situation, I'm living alone, so you can do the math. So my formula when I'm feeling down like that is to do something that's the opposite of what I actually want to do in the moment. So I can't tell you which night it was, but it was a night that I was actually feeling a little bit alone. And again, I keep myself very busy to not feel that way. But I said, you know what? Let me kind of sit in this moment and do this. And honestly, as soon as I kind of started, my thoughts just began to like change. And, you know, the fitness thing got me really excited because I was like, dude, you were a beast this year, bro. Like you were an absolute beast. You know, the day my dog died, I was in the gym. You know what I mean? Like there were things that like I was really excited about. But then you come to the realization and the self-awareness piece is huge here. And that's what I think, you know, for you as you're going through this or anybody that's listening that wants to really do this exercise, you have to be honest with yourself, you know, because if you really can't become self-aware to the level of giving yourself an honest score, I think you're kind of living a lie. I don't think that. I know that. Oftentimes, especially fitness, right? We like to say we work out and we do this, we do that. You know if you're really getting after it or not. Like, are you seeing the results that you want or not? And I know it's a hard, that's kind of like a Goggins thing to hear, but it's the truth, you know, and there's really no way around that.
I just unmiked me. Okay. Have you done this before?
Not this, no. And okay. I don't even know why I did it. I thought the scoring system out of 10 was a cool concept, but I didn't have plans to go this deep into it by any means. It was just kind of in that moment, like I started jotting it down.
Oh, wrong camera.
The ghost.
The ghost. No, I think it's a fantastic thing. And I think, I'm sure we're not reinventing the wheel here. I'm sure this has been done before. But I guess I'll tell you this. I'm hearing this for the first time right now. And I'm really digging it because I'm like really like thinking about some of the things that you're saying and applying them kind of in my mind. To what, mm-hmm. And that's what's prompting all these questions. So I asked you those questions. The next question I wanted to ask you is, I jotted it very quickly, so it may not make sense. Let's try. What's the purpose for this moving on for 2024?
So I don't think you can move into, and very personal, right? So I don't want to put my thoughts on anybody, but this is me as Dave Regina. I don't think I can move into a new month, a new year especially, or any new component of my life with true intention if I don't look back on what it is that I did last year, what I learned last year, what I did well last year, what I missed last year. That's like anything in life. Like, I don't think you can make a proper investment for yourself if you've never made an investment before, or if you've made a really bad investment, are you just going to go make that same investment again? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to take some thought. You're going to be like, well, I did XYZ well. This didn't work. Okay, maybe this could have been a little bit better, but you're going to like analyze the situation. You know me, I'm a process guy. So like for me, I can't move anywhere if I don't have an understanding. And again, this is not a scientific thing, right? Like I did this myself, but I know what I think about myself.
It's probably more scientific than you think.
Probably.
You know, like psychologically. Yeah. Because as you're talking, I'm like, something is popping through my head. And it's like, what happens to, and there's a lot of people out there that will go from one year to the next year to the next year, just kind of like cruising, not really focusing on maybe what you're talking about.
Paper bag.
Being
a shopping bag in the wind.
Right. That. Just flying around with the wind. Yes. You know, and so what do you tell someone that is, and they're happy, and this is the thing, maybe it's just about if you're happy that way, maybe that's what it is, but what do you tell somebody whom is just content with that, but there's no progress in their lives? It's just you're going from one year to the next year to the next year, and it's just, you know, maybe you're looking forward to, oh, I want to have a good year this year. Mm-hmm. Like very broad statements, which we get caught up very easily on saying, oh, I want to have a great year, I want to have a successful year, I want to have a healthy year, and we're just saying words, because at the end of the day you have control over a lot of those pieces if you just kind of start like focusing where you need to focus.
Right.
So what do you tell somebody that's just very kind of even keel on that, like, oh, just next year or this year is just gonna be a good year?
So I think I have to say first, and I gotta preface this, man, because you know there are times that I'm very like tired, you know, like even today, did not get the best sleep ever. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But I actually envy certain individuals who can live in true contentment of their life, not just coasting. So I think there's a big difference. Like, if you're just a coaster and you're just going, that's different to me than being actually content. Because content is like, it's not over the moon happy, but it's pretty happy with what you have. Like, I know some people who make $60,000 a year, punch the clock 9 to 5, but they travel all over the world and they're really content with their life. So I think it's great for people that can do that. Me, the way that I'm wired, I'm always seeking the next, the more, the this, the that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with setting intention for the new year. So you can be as content as you'd like, but I think every single individual in the world can benefit from some level of specificity in their lives. So if you are content and you like to travel, why not throw down, if it's a goal thing, right? 4 new places. Now, you doing that, you're only going to become more aware and more move with more intention to go to those new places. You know, so this system or this, you know, grading system, you may not have to beat yourself up as much as I did in terms of the scoring system, but I think everybody should take a look at your year and actually do it with some level of understanding of what you actually did for the year. Now, I think there's also a big part of the world that doesn't want to do this because they don't want to look back at the year that they had because they were a failure in their own mind. And I think sometimes it's hard to actually look in the mirror when you're not happy with yourself. And I've been there and I know that. So does that answer the question?
Yeah. Yeah. Can there be growth?
With
what? Can there be growth without doing things like these? Not this one specifically, mm-hmm. but without reflection, without accountability. Can there be just growth, personal growth, if you're just a coaster?
Yeah.
For lack of better words.
So I will say yes and no. Because I believe measurable data is where you truly will grow, right? So like, again, whatever life you have, that's fine. But you should be able to have some sort of measurement of what it is that you actually did for the year before.
What do you say to those people
mm-hmm.
that don't believe in the data or data period that have a different kind of way of life?
What's the way of life?
Just very easygoing. Like maybe data for them is like no stress, mm-hmm. happiness, fulfillment. So I don't need to know that the data to show that if I was successful in business or successful in working out 364 days of the year.
I got something for the non-stressors. One, please contact me. But yeah, like contact me, reach out immediately at Dave Redge on Instagram. Okay. Tell me what it is that you're doing. But for those people, I would say do the opposite. Don't look at the good things. I mean, don't look at the bad things. Look at the good things. Write down what are the things that actually made you the most happy. And I forget who I was telling on the podcast to do more of what makes you happy. When you move with that level of intention, you're going to just be better for the next year. So if you being at the lake, like for me, right? I'm stress-free when I'm sitting on a float on the lake with a cigar in my mouth. The more intentional I am about those evenings, the more that I actually did them this year. And my recreation level, I think, was through the roof. It's not one of the most important things in my life just because of how my life is set up right now. But just knowing what it is that actually makes you happy and even jotting that down in a journal. And maybe you don't have to jot it down. I really don't love writing things down. I've shared that before. I'm not big into journaling. I want to get better, but I just don't really do it. I don't think there's any bad side of it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I had to unmic me. Yes. I dig this, to be honest.
I'm happy, man.
Words are coming to my mind, of course, and this is something
nice
that
pink
we
pen, bro.
I know it's my writing pen. I'm writing. It's like the habits, right? So this looks like it could be a trendy thing for the No Snooze podcast, right? Mm-hmm. That on a yearly basis. And you know, we've kind of started a few with like the word of the year and yep. some things that we do. Or that you do. but no, this is like a trendy thing. Like there's a building a brand new habit. And if you haven't done this before, it's a pretty good exercise to get yourself kind of knowing more about yourself and knowing more about your tendencies and kind of like reevaluating what you were so that you can have that growth. And that's why I asked you, can there be growth without something like this? Because for those that don't really believe in this stuff, that they may think that this is foo-foo, you know, there's always an argument to the opposite side. So that's why I asked you that question.
I think there could be growth, like I said, but not measurable growth without the specifics of this.
Is growth supposed to be measurable?
That part, it depends on the individual. Yeah. You know, I think it really does, because it depends what it is that you want for your life. And that also might change, which is crazy. Like, I have become, I know you call me a robot, but I think you can also attest my intensity level for life has actually decreased since I've had Cali.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Like, I do remember saying this some time back.
What? Yeah.
But I mean, and I didn't know, because for a while, it didn't look like it was going to happen. It looks like you were still like on the robotic incline. But yes, you've mellowed out. I think that's a better word, mellowed out. And you're still intense about certain things.
Yes. But you're definitely mellowed out. Again, with intention, right? Like, I always felt that like I have to be on 1,000. And now I'm more open of like, yo, I'm tired today, dude. Like, I'm going to give you my best for the day, but I can't fake 100%. I can give you my best, but that's going to be a level that's a little bit more mellow, is a good word, for that day or even that season. You know what I mean? You lost a pet. You know that shit is fucked up. You know, so crazy. Like, that was a season of your life that like, you might have sucked in every other aspect, but you were really hurt emotionally.
Yeah.
And I think people go through, you know, heavy losses, you know, deaths, breakups, divorces, pet loss, injuries,
family losses,
family news. Like, people, look at what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of turmoil in the world. And I think this is just a good way to kind of look back and like, you know, try to find some good, and then, okay, what can we do better for the year?
I dig it.
This episode is brought to you by Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening. Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening is an experienced teeth whitening salon where you can get up to 7 shades lighter with just a 60 or 90 minute session in a professional and relaxing setting. They offer the most superior product coupled with the highest quality of customer service available to get you instant results. Whether you have an important event to attend, such as a wedding, birthday, anniversary, interview, or you are just unhappy with the color of your teeth, this LED light technology helps whiten your teeth fast and easy. At Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening, they understand how important your smile is to you. And speaking from personal experience, you'll be guided by highly efficient staff in a relaxing environment to reach your desired shade. Let them know you're a friend of Dave's from the No Snooze podcast and connect with them at HudsonValleyTeethWhitening.com or on Instagram at HV Teeth Whitening. Now, back to the epi. So, again, I told you last year was Nourish 7.4. So I'm going to say in 2024, I will be much higher than a 7.4. I need to be.
Wait, hold, before you continue.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone back to the previous words of the year and seen if there's been progress in that word?
I didn't. So I never scored. So this is now a new level.
The first time you scored.
New level unlocked. Yeah. Yes. Like, I never looked back and scored it per se. I talked about it, but I didn't. Like, now I'm really never going to forget. And I can listen back to episode 170 No Snooze podcast.
Follow, subscribe.
Share. To like remember this. Yeah. And I think it's pretty cool. Like, if you can imagine being able to look back and like, okay, each year I kind of like, you know, leveled up.
Yeah. Are you going to look back into, and maybe not in this moment, but are you going to look back into what the last, we've been doing this for 3 years, right? Three or four? Mm-hmm. Are you going to look back into the past words of the year and see if, and you didn't score it then, so you maybe not remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But are you going to look back and see, did I grow from that word that we did the first year or the second year or the third year?
No, probably not. I'll be honest.
So this is a moving forward. Yeah,
we're going to move forward.
Copy.
I can tell you this. Episode 1, I was not as good as I am now in terms of podcasting.
That is a fact.
That is a fact. So yeah, this year's word, man, it's almost a habit, actually. The word is actually a word, but I think the act of it becomes, for me, what I want it to become is a habit. And my word for 2024 is undeniable. Being undeniable with my consistency. Being undeniable as a father. being undeniable with my discipline, being undeniable with my respect and kindness to others, being undeniable in business, being undeniable with my intention. Anything that you can possibly think of for that day in 2024, I want to be undeniable. And when you become undeniable, I think it's almost obvious to others. And this is not a kudos to myself, but I think most people now, because we've been doing this for some time, they have an understanding and a concept that, like, all right, David Jean is kind of undeniable when it comes to, like, you know, his health and fitness, right? Like, you know my journey of Crohn's disease. You know where I came from. You understand my upbringing. And you've watched me buy a house. You watched me have a child, where most people say that that year is going to be the hardest year of your life, which it is. But, like, the fitness thing never fell off, right? So I think most people would be like, all right, like, he's kind of undeniable in that aspect. What I want for 24 is more of that in the other components of my life. Like, in the relationships where I was not my best last year, I want those people who are the most important people to me, if I were to ask them at the end of the year, and this is not for a clout thing, this is more like a what-if situation. But if at the end of the year I ask them to score me, I want them to be like, undeniable. Dave poured into me this year. You know, he checked in on me. He took me to lunch. He, you know, was there for me when I needed him most. He reached out when I didn't even reach out. Those are the kinds of things that I'm looking for in 24. In business, being undeniable, statistically, yeah, there's a financial component to it. But there's also, for me, a level of personal, what's the word? Personal connection in business, right? Like, the connections that I make, I want those relationships to be undeniable. And this is where, like, I think if everybody can see that, who are the most important people in your life, that's when this word becomes a habit. So it's almost like, all right, now I'm trying to develop this, you know, overall, overarching life habit of becoming undeniable. And it's a deep thing, because I think a lot of us, I don't know if it's Frisella or Milette, they talk about paralysis by analysis, where you sit around and you consume content over and over and over, and you read books, and you watch YouTube on personal and professional development. You do all the things. You go to seminars. You go to the ACE retreat weekend. You do all this, but you really don't take significant action in your life. And you become paralyzed because all you're doing is consuming, but there's no action.
So you're not applying.
You're not applying
what you're learning.
So for me, I'm trying to be undeniable. So there's one word within undeniable that really makes you that. And it's action. Like, doing the actual thing versus just sitting back and being like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's deep.
I have a little bit of a disagreement in the word. I think that you're absolutely right. The action part is huge. But I think, as you're explaining it, and I gotta be honest, if you're not talking about this, I don't think I'm thinking about it as deeply.
Yeah.
But I think that you have the skill set to be undeniable in the categories that you've mentioned, and you'll show them with actions here and there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that action word that you just put on there as the thing that's gonna get you there, to me, is consistency.
Yes.
Because if you learn something and you don't apply it, they're not even on the ballpark, right?
Right.
But if you learn something and you apply it, now, you know, or you show action, now you're getting yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to get you to that undeniable factor is being able to consistently perform using what you've learned to get better every single day and day in and out, which that's a part that you do have.
Yes.
Like, I think very strongly. So once you have those actions together, it's just, I guess, stringing them together to get yourself to that goal.
Yes. I just did an interview and I want to share it. It was very deep for me, super deep. You know, and I talk about Cali a lot and fatherhood and being a dad and how important it is to me and what it means to me, and just the level of, I'm very proud to be a dad to her. And the question was basically, what's one realization that I've come to in my life? And I was like, is there more to the question? Like, and it just kind of stopped there. And I took a minute because I was like, all right, I need to think about that question. And what came to me was that, like, I always wanted to be the best in life. And there's not many things now that at age 34, any of us can really say you're the best at. You might be really good. You might be excellent. You might even be undeniable in these things. But for me, there's only one part of my life that I can actually become the best in the world at, to this one person. And that's me as a dad. I have the opportunity to become the best father figure possible to my daughter. And if I have children down the line, there's not many things in my life. Like, I can't become the best commissioner in the world. I can't become, I mean, I can become fit and I can have a six pack and look ripped, but there's always going to be somebody more fit and ripped than you. Always going to be somebody with more money than you, even if you're you got a gazillion dollars. So the chances of me becoming the best in the world at every other aspect of my life are pretty much zero, besides me as a father. So I want that to be the core of how I move in 2024. And then that word undeniable kind of came up in that conversation, because I was like, I can undeniably become the greatest person to specifically my child and children down the line. And that was deep, right? Like, that was really deep for me. So, you know, whatever that is for you, I think that becomes the focus of your year. If you can sit back and answer that question and look at one realization maybe you may have, or highlight the most important aspect of your life. If you're in a relationship and that person's the most important thing to you, pour into that person for 24. So it's just a way that I wanted to share that, like, you can break down the four. For me, it was like 25% of each. You can really highlight one. So even if you can't do all four, make sure at the end of the year, for me as a father, that better be 9.5 plus out of 10. Oh, all right, good. I did that without getting emotional. That was good. All right. Now, the last thing that I wanted to talk about, dry January. I think a lot of people are doing it.
It showed up on the news today. It's like a thing.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
It must be trending.
Oh, it's no snooze. I think we started it. So I'm doing dry January, and I'm actually very happy to do this. I'm doing it not only for myself, but, you know, on a bigger scale, it's very deep to my heart. You know, my mom, I have family members who have battled and continue to battle addiction. Very close friends of mine who battle addiction, a lot of important people. And statistically, more people than you know actually battle addiction. So dry January is literally just cutting all the alcohol out. And like I said, I took 2 weeks off of work. And during those 2 weeks, I consumed at least two drinks a night. I got to be honest with you guys.
So you were like, okay, dry January, wet December.
December was soaking wet. But so on an episode, and I guess, okay, so now we got to be transparent, because on an episode, I spoke about magnesium giving me like great sleep. I don't know if there's a correlation, but the past 2 weeks of my sleep patterns have actually been atrocious. And I've been waking up at 3 a.m.
Still taking the magnesium and all
yes.
that?
Yes. Huh. I've been waking up at 3 a.m. every day. But like, and I still went to the gym every day, but I just wasn't waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym because I was off. So like, if I got up at 7, I'd go there, I'd take Callie to school, I'd run to the mall real quick, get some presents, then I'd go to the gym. So I was kind of moving at my own pace. So I still did like all the activities, but I don't know if it was the alcohol specifically that's like causing this, or the lack of maybe routine that was there, like, because I was just kind of scatterbrained.
Yeah, that part is tough. And I don't even know why I wanted to jump into this part of the conversation, because I took some time off too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was supposed to kind of go away. I ended up not going away. So yep. It was a staycation, right? And every day, although great, because you're home, you're not having to go to work, you're very relaxed, you kind of get to kind of do whatever you want with your day, which kind of like you're saying, mm-hmm. is great. But that lack of routine is kind of wild, because it kind of like catches up with you and you're like, I don't know if I feel good or not good.
So I don't know, can you relate to this? Like a grogginess almost?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like
yeah.
You're just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah,
and I felt very like, meh, like throughout right. the 2 weeks. I did not.
There was like no purpose. I
that's told my boss. When I went back to work, he's like, yo, you rested? I said, absolutely not. No, I just didn't. I don't feel rested. I like, again, maybe because I didn't go away. Usually I'm like on a beach somewhere nice, tropical. I didn't get that. And then also like it's wintertime now. So like the lack of sunlight, maybe being outdoors. So there's all these things. So what I'm looking forward to with this dry January is really locking in and being more intentional about like all the other things. And, you know, they say the hardest day of the month is going to be like the first Friday of the month. Because again, I'm a social drinker, right? Like, you know that I don't drink every day by any means. I don't have like just one a night, but on the weekend I'll have five in the night, sometimes more depending on the activity.
Right.
You know, and it's very like casual, but if you were to add that up over time, that's bad. Right. So like I'm looking forward to, and I've had this conversation many times on the podcast, seeing if there's actual benefits for me personally, like feeling, I think that's my phone, just feeling like on my day to day, if I'm feeling any better. And 30 days might not be enough, or 31 days might not be enough. And maybe I'll continue it on, not committing to anything right now. let me get through this first 31. But, you know, I know a lot of people who are doing the dry January thing.
How do you feel about this challenge itself?
I mean, I think it's very easy for me personally.
But
right
how
now.
Do you feel about it? Like, is this something you want? You're welcoming. I think you've made up your mind that you kind of want to go about this
right.
a certain way. But how do you feel about that?
So, and to piggy off what I was saying, I was leading into a vulnerability by starting with the strength. It's very easy for the 31 days, but I start to get anxious, to be honest, when I think about going to like social settings and being like, no, I'm okay, I'm not drinking today. For whatever reason, all you people who have hung out with me, I'm gonna be very honest with you guys, you all make me feel like I have to drink. Like, they're like, come on. And I'm like, no, I don't want to drink today. Come on.
Oh, you're going to party, man. That's why.
You're going to be a lame. But like, no, I can still dance. Like, I can still do all the things without alcohol. But like, get off my back. Let me be dry in January. Stop trying to like peer pressure me, because you know I'm going to give in because I'm weak. But do it in February, all right? Hashtag dry January, baby. Are you doing it? This is super easy for you.
So no, I'm not going to do it. I don't have a thing like that. The thing is, I made this conscious choice years ago to kind of stop, like slow down my drinking a lot, because I drank a lot, you know, but then I stopped. I made the choice a long time ago.
The big
so
Corona,
now,
if you will.
Yeah.
The big Modelo.
The college days were were a fun time. But I made the conscious choice a long time ago to kind of like stop. And I drink very little now. Which is ironic. So any of my friends that you know obviously drank with me will know what I was versus. And I'll tell you this, and this is the part that kind of does stink a little bit. Because I'm a social drinker as well, and that's why like now, when there are social occasions, I drink, and it's not a problem because that's probably the only time that I do it. Other than that, I don't do the every weekend. I don't have it with dinner. I'm not. I just kind of completely fell off of that. So I feel pretty comfortable in knowing that. That's not something that I need to do because when they do come, I do like taking advantage of the fact that I can't have a drink or a couple of drinks. So even if I need to get Twizzies, that happens too. Again, not my favorite thing, because now that I'm older, now that I don't drink like I used to drink, a little bit of Glen Twizzy equals a lot of hurt for the day after and even sometimes longer. Yeah. Whereas back in the day, my rebound ability was crazy. I could get Twizzy one night, bounce right back the next morning, the next night, do it again. And it would be, you know, so for me, it's a little bit different. I don't feel like I need to do that. I already don't drink that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably with a handful, maybe two. The summer's probably the most, because I'm the most social in the summer. But I will tell you, the part that does stink is that my social life has declined tremendously since I stopped kind of drinking like I used to drink.
Are you upset about that?
A little bit. Not a little bit. Not in the beginning, no, I didn't really care. But now a little bit. Because now, I never thought about this. I am way more social than I ever gave myself credit for. So I do tend to miss my friends here and there, like my social gatherings every now and then. It used to be every weekend. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, and the good thing is, here's the flip side of that. The good thing is I do look forward to like, oh, I know that I'm going to see my friends maybe next month. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an opportunity for us to, and it's not even about the drink. It's just to hang out, right, have fun, and whatever comes, you know? And then when the summer months come, I'm always looking forward to like, yes, we're going to have this barbecue here and that barbecue there. And that's going to be fun times, you know? But I'm like where it used to be like, all right, what are we doing this Friday? What are we doing on Saturday? Yep. And maybe by chance, what are we doing? So I played some hockey like when I was younger. And we would do these men's leagues, and every time we played after the game, it was like debauchery. It was you getting like lit up, and that was
debauchery or debauchery.
Debauchery, I don't know.
The big debacle.
The big vocab. So it was like midweek and then the weekend. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you know those things I don't miss getting silly.
Right.
That I don't miss about. Yeah, I don't miss feeling crappy the next day either. Right. So all in all, it's a much healthier feeling.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, you stop drinking on one side and you start eating more on the other.
But see, my problem, I guess, because I actually enjoy, like, you know, I like the bourbon game. I like the whiskey game. I like the scotch game. And again, so if you guys want a little science here, the only difference between scotch and whiskey is that it's actually barreled in Scotland to be called scotch versus barreled anywhere else in the world.
Whiskey is purely American, right? That's like Tennessee, Southern
Tennessee
states?
Whiskey. No, but it can be barreled anywhere. Hmm. Like, but it can only be scotch if it's barreled in Scotland. Hmm. But so again, I like the flavor notes. Like I like having one because I taste it like with a cigar. Good thing for cigars is it actually really pairs well with coffee as well.
Yeah.
Shout out the new sponsor, Starbucks in 2024, baby.
Let's go. Into existence.
But so that I guess like shutting it down in general, like for good, that kind of gives me like a level of anxiety because I'm like, do I really need that?
Right.
And but then it becomes like a challenge for me.
Yeah. I think it's balance.
You
know, I think right now I think it's a good move for you because you want to kind of make
a
little bit of a change.
I've been saying it for a while.
Right. But it's not, I don't believe it's about stopping because I do, there is a lot of benefits from alcohol.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not the scientific.
Benefits.
Maybe they're not the scientific ones.
There's zero benefits.
But emotionally, socially, like it does, if you're having one glass of scotch per week.
Oh, yeah.
Is that terrible for you?
Probably, because it's actually poison from a scientific perspective. There's no benefit.
But emotionally, that one.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about getting
maybe,
drunk every
maybe
night.
Maybe the emotional experience is what you're talking about.
And that's happiness. And that's overall fulfillment.
Right.
So it's not, like I said, it's not a scientific data thing, but it's about like, and that's, but you have to be measured. If you're somebody that has one and then you need to follow up with another 10, that's not healthy. That's terrible for you.
Yeah.
You know? But if you're just having one because it makes you feel good because you love the taste nodes, the taste notes with your paired with your cigar and whatever, that's a good thing.
Like
that makes you happiness, right? So that should not be a bad thing.
Right,
so now, if you're doing that like five or six back to back in a row
You're giving me life here. We're actually gonna have a great guest on, my buddy Chris James. He's gonna be on in the next couple weeks, and he actually took Dry January last year. And said, you know what? I'm going to try February. I'm going to try March. I'm going to do April. Before he knew it, he did a year. And he's like, you know, not really concerned if he'll ever have a drink again. But I want him to come on and actually talk about the journey of it. Because he's the life of the party. He's that kind of guy. And when I was talking to him, he was like, I don't miss it at all. He's like, actually, once I found the balance, the social settings got better. The clarity was there. The focus changed, and then he's like, when I want to go home, I go home, you know? And so I love that stuff and hearing those types of stories. So we'll have him on soon too.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, a 15-minute ramble turned into a big 50-minute, which is good, but this will bring us to my favorite section, Dave's Dime of the Week.
Dime.
Let's go. And again, I'm being very transparent with you guys. I apologize. I'm tired here. I know you see it. I have a 3-year-old that kicks me in the back, this 3 a.m. wake up thing. But you know what? This is life. Don't seek to be relevant or liked. Seek to be undeniable. Seek to be compassionate. Seek integrity. Seek humility. And seek light. This is what I'm going for in 2024. We encourage you guys to do the same. We hope you found value in not only this episode, but what we do. One ask, share the show. As always, until next time, stop snoozing.
Get up and get after it.
My man, CB did a lot of talking today, baby. I like it. Shout out to the new setup.
Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another Epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at Los News Podcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Los News. Shop the latest merch at losnewsshop.com. Come on.